three switches on one shoe. Well, that's a more funny story. Okay. Okay, so we've been trying over this last couple of months, all the 15,000 special shoe we had. How many do we have? Three? All the special shoe that we've had. So we've been trying to dedicate to some sukkahs and kashrus, some very real halacha ma'aseh aspects of those kashrus. So we spoke, Bishlach we did, right? Okay. So Bishlach, when we spoke about Bishlach, so we mentioned the Mishnah at the end of the second Berakah in Avodah Zarah, lists off a whole series of different Isurim that are kashrus related, but they're not kashrus per se. So let's say, for example, Bishlachim. Bishlachim is not kashrus proper. It's not, according to most of the Rishayim, it's not that the food is we're afraid is treif, but rather, even though we know that all the ingredients are kosher, we stand there, the Mashkiach standing there washing everything and goes into the pot is kosher, but the mere fact that the goy turns it on, that in of itself is a problem. And it's a problem not in terms of what's kashrus, it's a problem of gezeir mishum chastas. We're afraid lest the person comes a little bit too close, to shmoozing, and lest it leads to down the line to the chastas. So in that same sugya, in the same Mishnah, at the end of Avodah Zarah, so the Mishnah lists off a whole bunch of other things, different kinds of foods that one is supposed to stay away from, non-Jewish kinds of foods. And it's unclear. Some of them seem to be kashrus per se oriented, and some of them seem to be more other chashashas oriented. So one of those things that are thrown into this Mishnah is what the Mishnah describes, cholav shecholav akum. The Mishnah speaks about if a goy milks a cow, goy milks an animal, and he presents you with the milk, so the Mishnah says you're not allowed to drink that milk. So this is, of course, the sugi of cholav akum, cholav Yisrael. So the Mishnah says that's also. What exactly is the problem? Why is cholav akum prohibited? So here the Gemara explains that Cholav Akum is different from the Chashash of Bishul Akum, even though it has the same last name to it, Akum, but it's a different kind of a Chashash. Bishul Akum is not a Kashrus per se issue. Cholav Akum is a Kashrus per se issue. What's the issue of Cholav Akum? So the din happens to be that if you get milk from a terefa animal, so that milk is also. Cholav Yotzim and Aser also. It's a very Shemishna, but says Becheris, that anything that comes out of a non-kosher animal is, by definition, considered to be terefa. So if I knew for a fact that this milk came out of a camel, came out of a pig, so I wouldn't be permitted to drink that milk. That would be a din min haTorah. Yotze min haAser Aser. So now the problem is when the goy comes and he brings me a container of milk, so he says to me, oh, this is cow's milk. How do I know he's telling me the truth? How do you know he's telling me the truth that it's cow's milk? Maybe it's chaza milk. How do you know? So he's an erechem b'sumin. That doesn't work. Erechem b'sumin only applies to a Jew. Erechem b'sumin only applies to a frum Jew, to a Jew who's shomer kashrus. A goy comes and tells you that the food is kosher. A goy can't be a mashkiach in the store. So a goy comes and tells you the milk is kosher. He has no nemanos. So we always have to be concerned that less the milk is treif for milk. So the Gemara waters it down a little bit and says, well, not exactly true. You could tell whether it's kosher milk or treif for milk. They don't look exactly the same. I wouldn't be able to tell. The Gemara says the coloring is a little bit different, the texture is a little bit different. You could tell whether it's chazim milk or whether it's kosher animal milk. So what's the fear? So the Gemara says the fear is not that he's going to misrepresent the whole bottle of milk and he's going to tell you that this milk is cow's milk where the whole thing is mamash chazim milk. Nah, anybody who knows a little bit about milk, any farmer will be able to tell the difference right away. In fact, there is a difference. Does anyone know? Yeah, cancer, because it's missing. There's certain fat content. So I don't know what the deal is, but it's something about the fat content of kosher animals' milk is different than treif animals' milk. So there is a real way of telling the difference. So comes the Gemara and says that anyone who understands milk will be able to tell right away. What are we afraid of? We're afraid not that he's giving me a whole container of chazen milk. We're afraid that he's giving me a little bit of chazen milk. Namely, he was milking a cow. He knows I asked for cow's milk. So he's milking a cow. He's milking a cow. Betsy's milking, and she runs out of milk. So he's all nervous. He's got a comp with the order. The Jew's waiting for a cup of milk. So instead of going to another cow, he doesn't have any more cows. All his cows are finished. So he runs over to the back of the barn with his pig and a little oink oink and a little, what's a good name for a chazer? What's a good name? Winky? Porky, okay, Porky, okay. So he goes to Porky, and Porky adds on a couple of drops of milk, and showing he presents the milk down to his friend Yaakov Shmerl, okay? So that's the fear. So Yaakov Shmerl can't tell the difference, because it's 90% kosher milk, or just a little bit of chazan milk flown in there, so he won't be able to tell the difference. That's the chashash. So that's for that reason, Chazal made a takona, that you're not permitted to drink cholav akum. It's a gezei reshem yarbo the cholav davetomin. Is that a chashash min haTorah, or is that a chashash min derabbanan? Is there really such a fear min deraisa? So the poskim assume that min deraisa we don't have to be concerned with that. Why? For several reasons. First of all, min deraisa we have the principle called what? called Rove. It's unlikely that that happened. What are the odds that I put in an order for cow's milk and the guy's going to poop run out? Because, again, to say that it's whole chaza milk, the whole thing from beginning to end, that's for sure not, because I'd be able to see right away. So what are the odds that the guy gave me 90% kosher milk and threw in a couple of drops of chaza milk at the end? Very unlikely. There's a ruby de lesa, come on, there's a rove that most situations are not like that, and therefore mid the araisa, I can assume that probably didn't happen. So min ha-Torah, I'm actually permitted to drink the milk. But there's another reason why mid the araisa is permitted to drink the milk. Another very basic principle in terms of kosher is, what's that quote? Bittul. It's bittul berov. What does bittul berov mean? So that we have to get to come on Davav, talk about this a little bit more. But there's a din in a Torah. If I have, let's say, a little bit of a tray for chicken soup, gets mixed into a big pot of kosher chicken soup. So how much kosher chicken soup do I need to be mevatel the tray for chicken soup? So min ha-Torah, I require rov. As long as I have a majority of kosher chicken soup, everything is bittul berov. The tray is bittul berov. But the Rabbanan, there's a din that requires bittul b'shishim. Why do I need bittul b'shishim? So most of the Rishonim explain, the reason why I need bittul b'shishim is as follows. If I drop a little bit of chazer soup into potato soup, then I require bittul b'shishim, because then there's an issue of ta'am. We have a principle of ta'am ki ikar, that since there are two different kinds of soups, so the taste of the chazer is going to be discerned in the potato soup. So since the little bit of chazer is going to still give a taste to the potato soup, even though it's quote-unquote bittul berov, that's going to be a problem. And we assume that's a problem in the araisa. So mid the araisa, how do I know whether I have ta'am or not? One of two ways. Either I actually taste it, not me to taste it, I have to get a goy to taste it, which is a question in of itself, how I trust the goy, but not for now. Either I have to have a goy taste it and tell me there's no taste, or if I have shishim, the Gemara says you can assume if you have 60 times hetzer to one drop iser, most probably there is no ta'am there, and mid the araisa, that's ke'ilu the ta'am is bottle. Fine. So min ha-Torah, you require shishim whenever you have what's called a tarobus of min b'she'eino mino. When you have two different tasting kinds of foods, then you require shishim in ha-Torah. But the Rabban and the Chacham instituted that you require shishim even by min b'mino, gezeira ato min b'she'eino mino. Because we're afraid, let's say today, Chacham is going to come with a shayla to the rabbi. They're going to say, Rabbi, a little bit of tray for chicken soup fell into my pot of kosher chicken soup. So the rabbi's going to say, no problem, min ha-Torah is both a barov, don't worry about it. And tomorrow, a little bit of tray for chicken soup is going to fall into a pot of potato soup. So the balabasa is going to say, oh, yesterday I asked the rabbi, and he told me it's bottle barov. So today it's also bottle barov. Why do I have to bother the rabbi again? So that's what we're afraid people are going to say. If it was mutter yesterday, it's mutter today. No, it's a big difference. Yesterday it was min b'mino, there was no tam. Whereas now it's min b'she'eino mino, where it is nice in tam, it is a discerning tam. So therefore, mid the rabban and the chum said you require shishim. So the maisa, if you have a little bit of tray for milk, it's mixed up to a big bowl of kosher milk, lemaisi and shishim, but the requirement of shishim is on a midirabanan. Midirayv, so all you need is rov. So that's what the Shach writes, that if you have a goy comes and gives you a container of milk, how much chaza milk is there? It's not so much chaza milk, because if it would be so much, I would be able to tell by looking at it. It's just we're afraid a few drops, that the cow ran short, and what was the name again? Porky, right. Porky had to supplement the milk. So this couple of drops that Porky gave was bottle berov anyway, even though maybe it's not bottle b'shishim, but it's still bottle berov. So min ha-Torah, there's nothing to worry about. So mid the araisa, for a variety of reasons, there is no problem of chol of akum. Anytime you buy milk from a goy, so if it's mamish chaza milk, you'll be able to tell by looking at it. If it's cow's milk and a little bit of chaza milk maybe got mixed in, it's unlikely that happened. And even if it happens, it's going to be bottle berov min ha-Torah anyway. So the whole takana is only mid the rabban. But Lamai says takana. The Mishnah says the Farish, Chol of Shea, Chol the Akum is also its trace with the Rabbanan. So the post of Machlokes about does this Isser of Chol of Shea, Chol the Akum, does this apply in a situation where it's so unlikely, it's Kimat Nashayach, that you can have any trace of milk mixed in there? What's the Shaila? What's the issue? Let's say in this particular town, there are no non-treif animals, no non-kosher animals. Nobody's raising pigs in town. Nobody's raising camels in town. And all the farmers only are raising sheep, they're raising goats, they're raising cows. All the animals that are producing milk in this location are all kosher animals. So that was a big machlekes apostim in Europe, right? Hundreds of years ago. What's the deal? Should we say that the whole reason doesn't apply, and therefore the whole gezeirah doesn't apply, or do we say no? That this was like what we call like a davar shebeminyan. There was a special takanas chachamim called Chol of Shechol v'Akum, and if a goy provides you milk, v'ein yisroro eyo, you have to have a Jew watching it, and if the Jew's not watching it, it doesn't matter whether there's a treif animal around, not a treif animal around, it's a loy plug. So this was a big machlekes at Peskin. If you assume, like many of the poskim, most of the poskim, that there was a gezeira across the board of Yisroel or Ehil, Yaptav Yisroel or Ehil, so the question is, how does this play out l'maisa for us b'zman hazeh? So there are many poskim who said, how does it play out? It plays out the same as it's been playing out for the last 2,500 years. That the only way to drink milk is you have to have Yisroel or Ehil. You have to have a Jew actually watching it. And if a Jew is not actually watching the milking, then the whole thing is no good. What does watching the milk mean? That term Yisroel or Ehil. What exactly does Re'iyah mean? So the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Chulin has a discussion about different levels of Hashgacha, different levels of watching something. So the Gemara speaks about sometimes, when you speak about a Mashgiach, it means the Mashgiach is mamish watching literally with his own two eyes. And sometimes it's what's called in Halacha Yaitzev Nichnas. So Yaitzev Nichnas means not that he's necessarily watching right now, but he's in the area and he could pop in, he has the ability to pop in moments' notice. And that may serve the purpose of Re'iyah. Because the whole fear is, we're afraid he's going to start to... The Gemara idea happens not to be talking about Cholav, it's talking about a goy touching wine, talking about a goy, about somebody shechting, but you need some kind of a hashgacha to make sure that no one's pulling anything fast. So the Gemara says that it could be that Yaitzev Nichnas is the equivalent of a Re'iyah. So that's a discussion. Maybe this is good enough also. Even if you don't have a Jew who's mamish standing there and watching this particular milk coming out of this particular animal to this particular cup, but since the Yisrael is walking around and he could pop in at any moment's notice, so that's also considered like Yisrael Re'iyah. That was a further question. So came along with Moshe Feinstein, his famous Tshuva, and Moshe raised the following question. Moshe said, what if you don't have Yisroel or Eyu, literally. And you don't even have Yisroel of Yaitzev Nichnas. There's no Jew around. There's no Mashgiach for hundreds of miles around. So there's no Re'iyah Mamish, and there's no Yaitzev Nichnas. And you don't want to be Mekel based on those Acharon and Pichadosh and others who are Mekel just outright. Well, there's no Chazerim, no camels around, everything's Mutter. You don't want to rely on any of that. You want to fulfill the Mishnah Kedasa Kedim, that Cholav Shechol Ve'akom Ve'en Yisroel or Eyu is Asa. So what's called Yisroel Re'eyu? What does that mean? What other words do Re'eyu mean? So came Rav Moshe and dug up a raya from a Tosfos in Maseches Yevamos. We spoke about last year. Junesman, right? Who remembers who was with us? Junesman last year? Who's here, Junesman? You guys here? Kei Rishirim. You were here. Kei Rishirim. Right? There's a Tosfos in Yevamos that discusses the following. The Gemara says Beferish that for the purposes of Geirus, you have to have a Beis Din. Person who converts shlomo for the beis din, so the geirus is bottle of vutal min haTorah. The Gemara learns that from Psucha Mishpat, Adin Deraisa, Mishat is Gab, Benal Ben Atzmo, Einol Klum. So if you remember from the geirus shirum, we had a big machlekes. What does that mean? Does that mean the tevila has to be in front of the beis din? Does that mean kaval samitzvus, the mila? A big question, what part of geirus has to be done in front of the beis din? But Kuli Amalat Twiggy, that Re'iyah's beis din is ma'akiv. So Tosfos raises the following question. Tosfos says, what would the din be if you have a person who was Toivel, not literally in front of Beis Din, but we know for a fact that the person was Toivel. We have no shot the person is Toivel. How do we know the person is Toivel? So the Gemara tells a story about a woman who tried to be Megayer, and there was something wrong with her Geirus. Not clear what exactly what the problem was. And she thought that she was Jewish, and she married a Jewish fellow, and she was frum. She was going to the mikveh every month, the Torah's Tevila. As a regular woman goes, regular frum woman goes to the mikveh once a month. So we know for the last 20 years this woman's gone to the mikvah. So the Gemara says, that's okay. That tefillah that she went, the Torah said, that's good enough. That counts as the tefillah's geirus. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. So Taisa asked the Kasha, where was the Beis Din? There aren't three men watching her going to the mikvah. Where was the Beis Din? So one day Taisa says, you see, for me, you don't need a Beis Din for tefillah. All you need is a Beis Din for Kabbalah to mitzvahs. That's not what Taisa's raya. But the other day Taisa says, no, you need a Beis Din for tefillah. So where's the Beis Din? So Taisa's made an equation. What did Taisa say? Yediya equals what? Equals Re'iyah. If I know something is true, it's as if I saw it. I didn't see it with my own two eyes. If I know it to be true, it's as if I saw it. Yediya is the same as Re'iyah. Tosfos threw out this Svara to explain away a Din D'Araisa. We're making a person Jewish based on that. This is a very serious Svara. Tosfos helped us on the level of the D'Araisa. So Ramesha is Truva, and Rachel Yisrael dug up this Tosfos. He discovered this Tosfos. Most people forgot about this Tosfos. The one Yesh Omrim in a Tosfos, the Nivam, the fourth pack. But Moshe said, you see from that Tosfos that Yediyah is the same as Re'iyah. So now comes Moshe and says, I see, she's a frum woman. Everybody knows it. Every frum, Shomer Torah Mitzvah woman goes to the mikvah.
That's not Re'iyah. It's not that it has to be. It's not
You mean there's always a possibility that she's not from, that she's faking us out? Okay, possible. Possible. Very unlikely. It's enough for you, dear Tesis. So comes the Mishnah and says, I'm sitting now in Tavshin Ayin Gimel, and there's a cup of milk sitting in front of me. It doesn't say Chol Yisrael on it. It says, Ramesha, I know for a fact, Belishim Sofek, that there was no Chaza milk in this milk. I didn't see it. There was no Mashgiach with a long beard standing and watching in the farm, watching with no beard, short beard, no beard. No Jew was watching this milk come out of the cow into the bucket. But I know that there's no Chaza milk. How do I know? Where did I get this? How am I privy to this information? What's the answer? Because the U.S. Department of Agriculture, they're in charge of somebody, okay. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has very, very strict dairy rules. And if somebody would even dream of tampering with a dairy supply and put chaza milk into your container of milk, the guy would be sued. The guy would be closed down. The guy would be thrown into jail. It's against the law. You can't start putting porky milk into Betsy's milk. You're not allowed to do that. Nobody does that. So says Rav Moshe, it's unheard of in America that should take place, or in any other pretty much civilized country. Says Rav Moshe, it's unheard of, it's impossible. I bet there isn't a Jew standing there and watching. Zap Moshe, there is a Jew standing there and watching. Who's the Jew? I'm the Jew, you're the Jew, we're all the Jew. I'm in Saturday. It's Adis Yediyah B'Leir E'ah, Zap Moshe. If Taisa said Adis Yediyah B'Leir E'ah is good enough to be Matra Giyeris B'Natayra, so Adis Yediyah B'Leir E'ah is enough to be Matra Diyas of Chol V'Akom, which is only Midrabanan anyway, as we said before, because it's Batla Barov, it's Lidim Basarub, etc. So this was the famous head of Rav Moshe, the Adis Yediyah without the Re'iyah. Not everybody agreed to Rav Moshe. So those, you can disagree with Rav Moshe, Lom the Shavar, no, you can disagree with Rav Moshe, one of two reasons. How can you disagree with Rav Moshe? What? Either you can argue, D is not good enough, that the Takonis Chavim was, Yisrael Re'iyah, Re'iyah means Re'iyah, 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 nothing more, nothing less than Re'iyah. That's one way. Or one could argue, huh? Maybe it's not even Yediyah. Maybe if you had real Yediyah, it would be good. What's the Yediyah here? The FDA relying on the government. So how do you know? The guy's going to bribe the government. The guy will get the finagle of the government. The guy will get away with it. People get away with things in this world with more serious violations of than tampering the milk supply. So come other postkim and say, Rav Moshe may be right up Yedin, but maybe up Yedin is not correct. And others disagree with Rav Moshe and says, no, he may be right up in Metzias, but maybe he's not right up he did. So the same way in Taisus, you have to figure out what the Nekudas and Machlokes was. Those who disagree with Rav Moshe disagreed for one of two possible reasons. What? No, but the problem is, just to call it a robe, but all chovis, that was the Tachanan Tzachom was anyway, even though there's a robe that probably didn't happen. It's unlikely that a regular farmer would throw the chaza milk in. I don't think so. I'm not sure of the robe. You have to make it better than a robe. You have to make it into a Yediyah Mamish. So our kopar, this is the machlekes, the Gedalia Poskim, and the Emezer, should we rely on this kula or not? So those who, there are three different possibilities to this shayla. So there are some who accept this kula, belishim suffik, that's it, they follow Rav Moshe, that's it, finished, end of discussion. Then there are those who say, what, the whole thing is not true, either for halachic reasons, for metzias reasons, it's mamish treif gomer, it's the same tachanas acham as it was in the days gone by. It's treif gomer and it treifs up your kalim and it's a disaster and you can't eat anybody's house who doesn't mock for the Chol Yisrael. It's a disaster. Then you have people in the middle. People say that, well, Rav Moshe is probably right, you know, the rope, but we don't want to rely on it lechad chila, so we're trying to be mach for lechad chila, not to have chol v'achom. But would we say, let's say, if I would take that treifs up kalim, would we say kid in somebody's house? Would we say b'dievet, it's mamish treif? Maybe wouldn't say. So yesh v'yesh, different permutations in modern day practice, but it all emanates from the same Mishnah. So Chobanim, it starts out that same Mishnah, the same sugyas that talk about Bishalachim and Pasach and other things. So the Mishnah speaks about Cholavachim, but the chashash, the underlying chashash of Cholavachim, is much closer to Duchas Kasherus than some of the other chashash. Okay, so at least we had a small self-contained topic. So tomorrow we'll do another small self-contained topic. Maybe we'll try to learn a little more about Messiah tomorrow. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. Okay. So guys, try to get a little ahead of us.